activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye, Galactic Overlord Dave Nelson here, and I call this order, I call to order this eighth meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. I never get it right. I always make some kind of mistake. Let's commence with the roll call and say I or say here when I call your name, okay? Starship Fleet Commander Matt Stein. Matt Stein, are you here? Doesn't look like he is. Okay. Keeper of the Great Interdimensional Portal Brad Ludwig.
Here.
And last but not least, wanted in 16 different solar systems, she's our weapon for hire, Anessa Moyens. Anessa.
You need to wave louder, honey.
I'm sorry. That's as loud as I can wave.
And this, you know, it is an audio podcast, and I can't see you right now. I'm not looking at the screen, so you have to say something. Pipe up. Pipe up, Moyens.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was in hiding because I'm wanted in 16 different solar systems.
Oh, I see. I get it. All right. Okay. Let's introduce our guest geek for the week. He's a writer for Don't Ask Comics, co-founder of the D20 podcast, one of the hosts of What We're Watching Weekly, and part of the WWWW team in our Summer Movie Draft League. Some people call him the cupcake guy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club from, how do you pronounce that, Corey?
Rohnert Park.
Rohnert Park, California. Let's give it up for Mr. Corey Scott. Hang on. Fanfare time. Okay, how about this one?
Circumstance.
Welcome, Corey.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And, of course, we used to do shows together on Spreecast.com, and you've been a long fan or a long follower of our Galactic Netcast network. In fact, we had you on one of the episodes of Alien Invasion?
Yes.
Who was gone then? Who were you filling in for?
Me.
Okay.
Vanessa.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, well,
you had to find someone who was at least almost as cute.
And he
agreed.
He totally surpassed. So.
Oh, come on, girls. Let's not get in a fight about who's cuter.
See, if Corey wasn't already married, I'd have invited him to move up to Wisconsin with me.
Yeah, see?
My wife is actually from Wisconsin, so that would have been a
whereabouts?
Culture shock. She grew up in Green Bay when she was a teenager.
Oh, okay,
so.
Sure.
But she was a Coastie's daughter, so she moved all over, but Wisconsin was her teen years.
What's with people in California with either spouses or their original home was like in the Midwest? Because Gleb Rubenstein, who we've both worked with, he's originally from Michigan, right?
So am I.
And you are, yeah.
Yeah.
It's because it's cold up there and California has much better weather.
Okay, yeah.
It definitely does this year.
So far. We'll have to see how the summer goes for you guys.
Yeah. The lack of rain is going to be kind of torturous going into the heat wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I'm happy that we've had a little bit of rain lately. But then we've also had hail and tornadoes in general.
I got a feeling that our weird, wacky winter weather is going to continue into the summer. I just
oh, yeah.
Have the inclination.
I really hope it takes like a couple days off in May when I'm moving.
Come on, you don't want to drive through severe weather? I mean, that's anybody's dream, right?
I'd like to drive through Tornado Alley without actually having to hide from tornadoes.
There's no hiding from tornadoes.
No.
When I drove out from Michigan to California when I moved out here, I went the southern route to try to take it easy for the weather, and it just happened to be just some crazy monsoon weather in Texas of all places. I drove through a pothole, and I swear I looked out my window and couldn't see above the water level. It was just fish going by me.
Wow. Crazy.
All right. So let's talk about the subject of this podcast, which is the week's science fiction news. And before we get into what's new this week, let's read the minutes from last week or the last episode. And Brad, what did we discuss on episode number 7 of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club?
Well, it has been a couple of weeks, but I think I remember. Joel Duggan was our guest geek last episode. We talked about the Big Bang Theory to air Star Wars Day episode. There will be a scene on Dagobah, and it will have Bob Newhart. I had a story about the scientists building a Mars in a bottle simulation chamber where they could actually simulate the air and other conditions and test components for future modules and other things that will go into space land on Mars.
And not to be confused with time in a bottle.
Or a ship in a bottle,
or
correct.
Or ship in a bottle, yeah.
Microsoft has their sci-fi drama series Humans, and it will premiere on Xbox. And as I recall, is that the show that is based off of the Swedish show?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. See, Battlestar Galactica, unfortunately, is getting a movie. Thanks, Universal. And I only say that because the sci-fi show was so good.
Yeah, you can't really beat that.
No, you really can't. And last but certainly not least, Joel brought us a story about the Micro 3D printer, which is a Kickstarter that – and Joel, I didn't really mention what Joel is about. He is a he's got a web comic that he does, and he's also a podcaster. I think he's on one, if not two, podcasts.
He hosts the Citadel Cafe and I forget the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Comics Coast to Coast.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
And he was saying that as an artist, it would be interesting to have a smaller 3D printing apparatus. And it's not very big. It's just probably about the size, a little bit bigger than a toaster. And it comes with a spool of what's called filament in which it will heat it up and then use that filament to actually print plastic objects, the filament is a type of plastic, and you can, if you have a 3D modeling software on your computer, you can print it out with this smaller printer. And I think the medium price,
$300.
I think it was like $300,
yep.
And you could get a one of these smaller 3D printers, which is fantastic.
So everybody could have their own replicator. That's
but if they're made by HP, you know they're going to get you on the ink cartridges.
Yep. They're going to get you on the filament.
I did find an Instructable where somebody had put together Instructables.com is a site where you can learn how to build things. People share ideas and share step-by-step instructions on how to do things, and one of them was how to create your own filament.
Nice.
So you could actually, for a very low cost, create your own filament to refill, not unlike getting the ink cartridge refill kits. So
no, suck.
Suck. But there you go. That is our minutes from the last meeting.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Let's dive into our new stories. Like we said at the top, or we didn't really specify, Matt is not feeling good this week. So he was going to have the first story, and we'll save his story for next week. So that bumps up Brad. Brad, what is your sci-fi story of the week?
My sci-fi story of the week is talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, so good right now.
The ABC show, yes. It really seems that, you know, they were kind of soft-shoeing and setting some things up. But once Captain America, the Winter Soldier, came out, they've really, really kicked it into high gear. We are now seeing a lot more cloak and dagger stuff. We're seeing a lot more spy stuff. And spoiler, if you haven't seen Captain America, the Winter Soldier, S.H.I.E.L.D. was infiltrated by Hydra, and S.H.I.E.L.D. is now listed by the United States, or by the UN, I believe, as a terrorist organization. And S.H.I.E.L.D. has been dismantled.
So they have to go around. They have to go around like this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They had to identify themselves as the CIA.
They have to. That's right. I mean, that you're dead on with the whole cloak and dagger thing, Brad.
Yeah, it's really become the spy show that I think people really kind of wanted it to be right out of the gate. And we're starting to see some threads come together now. The last episode, and I can't remember the name of the episode now. It wasn't Providence. It was Providence. That's what it was. Yes, it was Providence because that's the name of the secret base that they end up meeting Patton Oswalt's character at. And what's very interesting is for a brief second, now we've been introduced to Deathlok, J. August Richard's character, J. August Richard of Angel. He played Gunn. He is now a cyborg. It looks like now he's almost more machine than man at this point. But for a brief moment, Bill Paxton's character, Agent Garrett, when he's putting on a shirt, you notice that kind of in his ribcage area, he has a bit of cybernetic wear on him.
Yeah, I noticed that. And I had to, when I saw that, I looked it up. So I know where you're going with this, Brad.
Yeah. Now, in the comics, Agent Garrett is actually a very old man, but he's managed to stay alive because he is cybernetic. So they seem to be keeping that thread in the cinematic universe. And this is conjecture on my part, but if you were somebody that was looking to stay alive for a long period of time, he's obsessed with the drug that brought Coulson back from the dead. There seems to be a common thread there. What if he is testing out all these cybernetic pieces on other people so that he could eventually implant it in himself? And again, that's just conjecture on my part, but that's kind of where I think some of this is going.
And his character in the comics is also like not a superhero, but he's got a secret identity, right? In the comics, he's known.
He's definitely a SHIELD agent. He didn't go bad in the comics, as I recall. And if he has a superhero, I can't recall what it is. I don't honestly know what that is.
But, you know what's been great is I've learned so much about the Marvel Universe from watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they'll make these like mentions, and they're dropping names all the time now.
Yeah.
Did you watch last night's episode?
No, actually I'm going to be watching it after this show.
Okay. this is no spoiler, but the new character, the new guy that they picked up at
Triple.
Yeah. He mentions on the episode that his grandfather was part of that team.
The Howling Commandos.
Yeah, Howling Commandos. Yes, yes.
Yep. And actually, I think it was, well, Garrett's character was, he served with Nick Fury, but I don't think he was one of the original Howling Commandos. But I know that Patton Oswalt's character also worked with Nick Fury back in the day.
He should be
a lot older.
Okay, so his character is also based on a character from the comic. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So they're really when they break into the fridge, and when I say they, I mean Agent Ward and Garrett. Garrett mentions that he actually brought somebody to the fridge who had sewn lion's paws to himself, and that's actually a – he gave the name, and I can't remember the name now, but he is known as the Griffin. He's a villain. Mm-hmm. So they are reaching back, and they are really tying some things together. General Talbot, who we saw briefly, talking with Coulson, saying, okay, we're coming, and we're going to interview people. General Talbot actually was married to Betty Ross, Betty Ross being Betty and
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner's girlfriend.
Oh, cool.
One-time girlfriend. On-again, off-again relationship. But so they are really digging back and tying pieces together and kind of really fleshing out the cinematic universe a bit more. So it's really happening fast and furious at this point.
Yeah,
so
there's a bunch of name drops in the episode that just aired, the one that you haven't seen yet, Brad. You will be really impressed. And there's a nod to another franchise of some kind. I have no idea which one it is, but I'll just take a drink out of my pop here.
Never ending cup. First of all, beautiful that you use pop. Second, yeah, if you've got the Marvel Universe to draw from, why would you not name drop? Because they've had 70 years to create every different kind of character and idea and concept. And you don't necessarily have to put them in there, but it is that moment of you can quote a character like the Griffin, who is just absolutely ridiculous and doesn't necessarily need to show up in any of the movies, and just use it as a throwaway, because that's sort of what the character became in the comics. It's not somebody that people are like, oh, I can't wait for the Griffin's comeback. you know, it's like Frogman or any number of tertiary villains for Spider-Man or some of the other characters. So, yeah, to say, hey, I need something that fits this. What can we grab? You know, we've just got this giant Marvel grab bag to dig through.
Yeah.
Use it all.
And that's what this whole Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to be from the get-go was.
That's what the biggest complaint is, that it's been missing.
Yeah.
The one thing I do know about the episode that just aired is that the character draws his power from the Dark Force, which is also where Cloak of Cloak and Dagger draws his powers from. This is an established force. I think I want to say that Nightcrawler passes through it when he teleports. I think that's been established too.
It's been said off and on. He passes through another dimension, and that's why the sulfur smell and stuff shows up there. But it has been implied that he passes through the Dark Force dimension like Cloak does when he teleports as well.
Yeah. So this is an established deal. With Marvel, so I mean they're definitely pulling more of the universe into it, and that's why I pulled it in here is because we've got cyborgs, sci-fi. S.H.I.E.L.D. to me classifies as sci-fi. It's not just comics; it goes beyond that. So that's why I included the story.
And no, I'm glad you did. And before the season wraps up, there's going to be a couple of guest stars that we've already seen on the show. Actually, I think they were both in the premiere, the series premiere, and they're both going to be appearing again before the end of the season.
Yes. Yes, they are. So there you go. That is my story. The story came from IO9 that I'm drawing from here. So, if you gave up on S.H.I.E.L.D., really go back if you can and watch the episodes and watch Captain America Winter Soldier and watch these newer episodes catch up, because at this point, if you weren't thrilled with it, I think that they've really kind of come back in spades and made things pay off.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, and hopefully the numbers will be good enough for them to continue the series. And I think they're going to continue it. This is my personal opinion. I think they're going to continue it no matter what, because this is just a way for Disney, who owns ABC, to support their franchise.
You know, the one thing that I think that they would be doing for season two, if they don't, well, I don't think you ever wrap things up with Hydra, ever. But with everything that's gone on with the Iron Man 3 film, we've had the introduction of AIM, Advanced Idea Mechanics, which is another villainous organization, and the Centipede Project, based off of basically AIM's technology. I mean, we've got a tie-in with Deathlok, and I think that's coming too.
Cool. So. All right. Good job, Brad. Thank you. Great story. Let's move on to Anessa.
Woohoo. So the story that I picked for this week came from twitchfilm.com, and they posted an article basically they just talk about a trailer and a poster that premiered for the indie sci-fi horror film Ejecta.
Say that one more time, Anessa. You were breaking Ejecta? Up. One more time.
The indie sci-fi horror film called Ejecta.
Okay.
And it's the story of two men who witness an unexplainable event in the atmosphere on the eve of a historic solar system, or a solar storm, sorry, and must survive a terrifying life form that's hunting them. An anonymous group will stop at nothing to unearth the truth behind what has happened to the men that night and prove to the world that we were never alone in the universe. It's written by Tony Burgess, who did the zombie film called Pontypool, which was interesting, and a movie called Septic Man, which I have not seen. And Ejecta stars Julian Richings, who is in Man of Steel and Supernatural, Lisa Hooley, who starred in Pontypool, and Adam Sabold from Exit Humanity. And they kind of describe the film as like an ode to lo-fi sci-fi era in the 80s through the film's poster and the electronic score that they have playing throughout the trailer. So it kind of gives it a little bit of an 80s feel. But I didn't think it was like overly 80s in my opinion in the trailer. But yeah, I'd like to see another trailer before I decide if it's something that I want to actually check out. And I probably will end up checking it out if it makes its way to Netflix, because that's where I saw Pontypool.
When does this movie have a release date? What's the date? Do you know?
Don't know. Let's see. The date just says it'll be playing in festivals.
Okay.
So it says international rights will be coming soon. So
it may not even get a wide release.
It doesn't really give a date. It sounds like it's just going to make its rounds through the indie film festivals, maybe get a brief release in theaters, and just go straight to DVD and streaming.
That's a good idea. So, I found it on IMDb, so let's see if they give a date. It just says 2014. Ooh, it was made in Canada.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, I left that part out. Because that's not what it's all about.
I know.
It's about the movie.
I know.
I wonder
if they'll
follow.
I don't care where it's made, as long as it's not crap.
Yeah. Canadian crap. I wonder if they'll follow Joss Whedon's process of putting stuff online. He's got his new movie, In Your Eyes, I think is what it's called, that they just premiered, but they decided to just stream it online for right now. You can watch it for $5. While they still haven't got it up for distribution or anything in through the theater, because Cabin in the Woods took 2 years to come out, so why wait around for Hollywood to decide when they're going to release your film if you can just put it out there yourself?
Put it online, and, yeah.
Yeah, there's some interesting. I see this more and more happen more and more with movies. A lot of times they're released online before they hit theaters, which is interesting.
Well, Joss started Bellwether as, you know, with the success of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. He just, that was his goal. He wanted to not wait around for stuff and be able to be the kind of the captain of his own destiny and do the things that he wanted to do. So.
But then in between that, you know, he also made a billion-dollar movie with the Avengers. So I guess he can kind of pick and choose what he wants to do.
Yeah, he can do whatever he damn well pleases, really, at this point.
Agreed.
Cool. Yep. I'm looking forward to this. This sounds like something up my alley for sure. Because you have Solar Storm, and then you got something. It sounds alien. Sounds very alien.
Well, in the trailer, you've got the scene where it looks like there's this guy that's talking about his experience. And he's talking about how it hurts, and they show what looks like maybe drilling into his head, and then you've got, at one point in the trailer, it kind of makes me think Blair Witch, because it's someone running with a camera. So there's a hint of the Blair Witch Project in that as well, in that sort of style. And then you've got this grayish alien being towards the end of the trailer through a crack with weird-looking teeth. Being all creepy like, so. Or at least it looks like an alien. It could be like a human that's been somehow changed.
I think I know where they're going to. I think I know where they're going with the whole 80s. What do they call it? What's the word?
Lo-fi, sci-fi era.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite genres. Like, and you can find a bunch of those type of movies on Netflix if you really, really. Well, you don't have to search that hard. They're pretty easy to find. but I love when people do homages to certain types of movies. Like there's that movie that's takes place in the 70s that's in space. What a space movie. We talked about this
Space Station 76.
Yeah, yeah.
Station 76?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, it takes place in space in the future, but in the future that looked like what people thought the future would look like in 1976, which is awesome.
Indeed.
All right. Ejecta. Look forward to maybe in theaters.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Apparently more information can be found on Facebook.com/Ejecta.
All right. So. Thank you, Inessa.
Sure.
Let's stay on the subject of movies. Anybody on the panel fan of Farscape?
Yes.
You're the only one.
I've never watched it.
Same here. It's one of those things that I missed.
Oh, I've got the DVD set of all the episodes and all the movies.
Wow.
I have a feeling that's going to be remedied soon. Yeah. Not watching it.
And I've kissed a girl, too.
That never gets old.
No, it doesn't for me. It probably does for everybody else.
I think I've seen maybe two episodes. I'm a big fan of the main guy, because he eventually ended up on Stargate SG-1 towards the end of the series.
Was Ben Browder?
Yeah. So Farscape movie is officially happening. Rockne O'Bannon, creator and showrunner of the original series, has confirmed that the movie is in fact happening. Someone from TV.com heard the quote in person, and he said this, "Texting me from WonderCon, a very good friend of mine, Paul Burroughs, just left the showrunners panel at WonderCon. A panel member, none other than Rockne O'Bannon, the co-creator of Warehouse 13, Defiance and Revolution." Holy crap! This guy is all over the place. Who is also Farscape's creator and showrunner, has indeed confirmed a Farscape movie is happening. Spoiler TV followed up with a quote from O'Bannon establishing Justin Monjo's involvement. We're far from production, but yeah, the first step is Justin working on a script for us. And according to Tor.com, they have the plot, actually, according to them. I mean, I'm sure this is subject to change, or this may not even be the plot, but this is the plot they have. The film will follow John and, how do you pronounce that, Brad? Aaron's?
Sorry? Aaron's son.
Okay. Their son, D'Argo. Because their baby was exhibiting a set of interesting powers that made him a magnet for galactic villains, we find that John and Aaron hide their son on Earth to grow up. Now the kid is 19 and ready to go into space with his parents. So, interesting. Which character on the, I don't know their names, I know what they look like, but which is Aaron?
Aaron is the Sebastian. She's the one that, Claudia Black.
Okay, they were both on SG-1.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So the only one on the panel that actually watched the show, Brad, are you excited?
If this gets off the ground, it would be interesting. The movies were, I don't know. The last season, they added a character which I wasn't entirely a fan of. And then, kind of one of the villains was a part of the crew too. And it just, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan towards the end. It sort of jumped the shark in my eyes, but.
When was the last episode? Or when did the season end or series end?
Oh God.
Well, obviously before they moved over to, Stargate. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Like I want to say 2006?
Yeah, mid 2000s to 2010, whatever that's called.
2003, I'm sorry. Okay. That's when it ended.
Okay.
And this is the one that was full of Jim Henson Muppets and stuff, right? Were part of the
cast. Jim Henson, his workshop was a part of it.
And now they're doing that sci-fi series that is the Jim Henson Creature Shop, basically, where they're getting new talents and inventing creatures and stuff every week. I wonder if that can somehow lead into some of the creatures that we might see in this.
It's possible. That series is great, by the way. And I hardly ever watch reality shows, and that one's pretty good. I like it a lot. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Corey. I'm like, maybe they're farming for new talent. Maybe they're gearing up the workshop for Farscape. It's possible.
Yeah, because there's a definite difference between everything that's gone to CGI now versus those actual physical creations. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. She's a big advocate for created effects as opposed to computer effects. And if you see the difference between how Yoda was rendered in the prequels for Star Wars versus how he was in the original trilogy, he was able to do a lot more physical stuff in the new films, to be sure. But there's something it's just more endearing, I think, of having that puppet, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. to be manipulated by a human hand, by a master like Frank Oz anyway. That's the kind of thing that I think would be a benefit to this film if it happens, is that it's going to look very different from the other kind of sci-fi movies and stuff you're seeing now.
Yeah, I think that they'd make a mistake if they went CG. Because the characters, if you watched the show, they would look totally, not totally different, but a fan of the show would be able to tell the difference between the original practical effects and computer-generated effects, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not against computer-generated effects overall. I mean, what they're doing with Guardians of the Galaxy looks incredible, but I would like to see practical effects in place, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's room for both, definitely. And I could see, going back to the whole Star Wars thing, I could totally see J.J. Abrams playing with practical effects for Star Wars characters. Which, by the way, turns out they've been filming second unit stuff for about a month now in Tunisia or someplace. Saw a picture of what is probably an AT-AT foot or leg or something like that.
Yep.
Pretty exciting time we're living in as far as sci-fi goes.
Interesting. Yep.
All right, so there you go, Farscape movie. And I wanted to also mention that this guy has some total cred, man, this O'Bannon guy.
Yeah.
I mean, just the shows he's been involved with, Warehouse 13, which has started their last season, right, Brad?
Yes.
Okay.
But is rumored that it might also be getting a movie.
Really?
Huh. That is something that they're talking about possibly, is after the season's done, doing a film.
Interesting. Okay. Defiance, another great show, which is going to premiere again in the second season in June. And Revolution, one of my favorite shows. So this guy is all over the place. He's got some good stuff going on. All right. That leaves one more story, and it's our guest geek, Corey. So, Corey, what'd you bring to the table?
Well, I'm a comics guy, and so I wanted to find something that was at least somewhat comic-related, although this is taking comics into animation. So Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead, he plays Glenn, who's proven to be a very popular character, and Felicia Day, who I'm sure no one on the internet has ever heard of. Yeah, exactly. And she did something with that guy who did the Avengers. I can't remember. You might have mentioned earlier. It was some sort of musical.
Isn't she the person that's on my TV screen when my Chromecast is on the YouTube channel? I think
she's likely.
Yeah.
No, I think she used to co-host Game on Twit. No, anyway. So she and he are doing a animated adaptation of the comic book Chew from Image Comics, which is very exciting to me. It's a terrific series and one of the most unusual books I think out there. It's been out for several years now and is still nobody else is doing anything like it. So Chew is the story of an agency that basically it's the Food and Drug Administration, right? Or something like that.
Don't remember. I think I've read like the first issue and it's a series that I've been wanting to like read just because it sounds so like unusual in the manner. Because basically you have this agent yeah. and he's basically, you know, trying to help solve these crimes and these murders, and he's able to get information off of the objects that he consumes, and a lot of times they're of human flesh.
Yeah, he's a chewopath. And what it is anything he eats, he gains psychic memories of their life before they were killed or prepared. So basically he uses this ability to go and solve the crimes that he's fighting. And sometimes, yeah, like you said, they're animals, they're meals, or they're people. And yep. he just has to take a bite out of crime. So Felicia Day is going to be playing the main character, Tony, his girlfriend, who is also psychic, but in a different way. She is a Sabo scrivener, and what she does is anything that she eats, she can describe in her writing. She's a newspaper reporter, and she can make people who read her articles experience what she experienced when she ate the stuff. So she started out going to very fine restaurants, the greatest meals, the best chefs. And she got very bored with it because everybody loved what she was doing so much. So she decided to start going to the worst dive experiences to get just the sickening, most horrifyingly bad meals and making people just vomit upon reading. But the entire series is filled up with all these different kinds of things that relate to people's psychic experiences in relation to food. And the setting of the world is that the Food and Drug Administration basically got into a huge power, kind of like the NSA is today, because of the avian flu. And it killed about 1 million people in America. So they have illegalized chicken and all fowl products and stuff from being eaten or sold. So a lot of the crimes relate to those sort of things. There's a black market for chicken McNuggets. One of the characters that's actually gotten his own spin-off one-shots here and there is a rooster that is a master in cockfights, essentially. And the character's name is El Pollo Loco or something along those lines. And
that's
so,
also a food chain.
Yes, I don't know if it's exactly that, but it is some crazy bird. It's just a totally bizarre, very endearing book. The characters are very heartfelt and real, but still silly and over the top, and just the storylines are incredible. And it's going with the idea that it is going to hit an ending. They wrote the book with an ending in mind for the series. You know, they just want to tell the best stories that they can. John Layman is the writer. Robert Guillory is the artist. So it's a creator-owned book. It's one of those things that you pick up and you start reading and you just want to keep reading it month after month. And there's probably, I think, about 8 trade paperbacks out now. So if you are looking to read it, at least you don't have to sit there and wait the years of the monthly grind trying to catch up. You can get a big chunk of it all at once. But the fact that you've got these two very well-known, very big name. And Stephen has been a fan and advocating the book pretty much since the beginning, and he's been the one person that they've all been talking about to play the part of Tony in a movie or anything that they were talking about doing a TV series at one point, I think on Showtime. So having him associated with it is great. Felicia Day has also been a fan since about 2010. She added it on Twitter and said, you know, everybody needs to be reading this. So it's nice to see these hardcore geeks associated with this property.
Cool.
Indeed.
So do we have any more concrete details on when and where this is going to be?
I think it's just basically been announced that they are in the works on it, that they've been cast. So I don't know if the animation has actually been developed beyond probably just the preliminary stuff. So it's probably going to be a little while, but I don't think that it's going to be a huge budget or anything either, where it's going to take 2 or 3 years like a Pixar film. I have a feeling that this is going to be a 2D animated. I don't think it's going to be a...
Yeah, that would be... Animated.
That's what I imagined.
If anything, I wouldn't mind if it reminded me of the Max series that was on MTV in the 90s. I thought that was a great adaptation that felt close enough to the comics to still be inviting to the comic readers while still being visually incredible for people who just wanted to see a good cartoon.
Or the amazing screw-on head.
Yes.
I love watching that. Okay, never mind.
So, Corey, you mentioned in your email that you wanted to maybe go on a rant about Transcendence. You still want to do that?
Not about Transcendence itself. I have read over the last week about 10 different articles all relating to Transcendence and how it's bombed at the box office. And I haven't seen the movie, and I didn't really have an interest in seeing the movie, much like apparently everybody. But this $100,000 film is made $10,000 or whatever in the theater so far and is being looked at as being a huge bomb. But everybody's writing articles saying that, you know, well, it's not about this movie. You know, it was something that they had to do because the guy who directed it has been a protege of Christopher Nolan for the last several years. And so they had to give him something so he could kind of get his own footing under him to do directing. And it's, oh, do people hate Johnny Depp now? Can Johnny Depp only play characters like Jack Sparrow or the Mad Hatter? And it's just all these different takes on this, like, sort of apologizing for how it performed, but not taking any kind of responsibility of, like, maybe it just sucked. Maybe it just wasn't a very good film.
Well, yeah, before it came out, I think it was Thursday or something, that somebody mentioned that it had like a 20-some or even lower than that percent rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
19%.
That's bad. There's probably a reason why, and it's not because of just Johnny Depp or whatever other reasons people give.
And they're saying, well, he's the only bankable actor in it, except Morgan Freeman's in it.
Yeah.
But Johnny Depp is in it, and he's dead within the first 10 minutes, and then is just appears on a computer screen. It's just, I just can't see the whole, it's so much just the politics of Hollywood right now are trying to explain away that this movie got made, and it had to be made. It doesn't matter that it lost tons of money. It's like, well, no, why not concentrate on making good movies instead of just making stuff for these ideas of, well, we have to make this film happen so that this next film can happen, or we have to please this guy. Well, then that guy should make a good movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe we shouldn't concentrate on expensive actors just because they're expensive. Maybe we should concentrate on actors who make good choices in their roles. Someone up top should be deciding this film is worth banking on or isn't. And if I invest $100,000 into a movie, I should be expecting to get something back out of it instead of just playing apologist afterwards.
The only thing that I would counter to that is Johnny Depp has made great movie decisions. He's made, you know, he's done films he's wanted to do, and he's done Pirates of the Caribbean, and I'm kind of, you know, popcorn fluff versus, you know, some of the other projects that he's worked on and he really wanted to do.
Right. But then, you know, the last three films, and this is something else that they're saying, is that people lost their love for him because he did Dark Shadows, which was a bomb. He did, what was it, the Rum Diaries or whatever, which was a bomb, and The Lone Ranger, which was a bomb. And The Lone Ranger and Dark Shadows were both pitched as really big movies. They were supposed to be summer hits. They were supposed to be tentpole movies, and they just were terrifyingly bad and not recepted well at all.
I think it's the way that they were marketed to people, and people's expectations were set really high, and they were given the wrong impression about like what these films were going to be about or like the vibe in general. And so when they went to go see them, there was a greater distance for them to fall from being like super excited, here's my expectations, I go in and it's crap. But if, you know, it was properly marketed in such a way that, like, oh, okay, like, this is what the movie's going to be about. It's, you know, going to have, like, a lot of dry humor or whatever, like, for Dark Shadows or something. And then they go and see it, and they're like, oh, that wasn't too bad. And so, like, their expectations are actually going to, like, go up, or, you know, their approval will be different. They'll be less harsh on their criticisms. But
right.
A lot of times, like, I'll hear things about a movie, and I'll hear, like, oh, you know, like, it was awful, it was awful, it was awful. And I'll watch it with the expectation that it's going to be awful, and it actually ends up not being a half-bad movie, or I actually enjoy it. But I think it's because the bar for me has been set so low, and Hollywood is really trying to play up these movies and setting the bar really high, so by the time that people get in there, they're, like, super harsh, because it's not at all what they were expected. And so, yeah, they're going to be like, yeah, this movie sucks. It's awful. Don't go see it. Save your money.
I just wonder.
And it might not actually be that bad of a movie.
Yeah, I just wonder if Johnny Depp is thinking about maybe playing some, you know, in some not necessarily blockbuster films for a while, because that seems to help people's careers.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, if he gets to play a character, he does better. But also, I think that's the problem. It's not about Johnny Depp, because Johnny Depp can do great characters. What the problem is the promotions of these films. And you nailed it completely, Nessa. It's, you know, they marketed these films very, very badly, but no one seems to be taking the responsibility on that end. They're making the excuse of like, oh, it's okay because of these other things we're going to gain from it. You need to gain from everything. You're already losing people in the market. So when we've had the experience of seeing John Carter of Mars, which was not a bad movie.
That was great.
But was marketed in a terrible way.
Yeah.
That flopping and then The Lone Ranger flopping. Again, I haven't seen The Lone Ranger, but Glenn said that it was actually pretty good. But it was marketed in a terrible way. So is the problem the films, or is the problem the promotions? I think it's the promotions. I think it's Hollywood. I don't think it's the director. I don't think it's the writers. Sometimes it's the writers. But I think that it's Hollywood is making these things to be blockbusters and then are facing disappointment when they're not.
Well, the budget.
Maybe you don't concentrate on blockbusters. Maybe you concentrate on making just good movies.
Telling a good story.
Yeah, and the promotions, yeah. The budget for promotions on these thing on these films are just, it's a huge part of the budget, just the promotions part of it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, actually 46% of the audience liked it on Rotten Tomatoes. It's the critics that only were at 19%.
Okay.
So
all right. Still,
audience
it's all,
seemed it, to it, dig it a bit better, but it, still not great.
It's all about perception, and even though it may not be Johnny Depp's fault, people may start thinking that he's not bankable and they stop going to see his big tentpole movies.
Well, it's like the same thing with Will Smith and some of the past couple of movies right. that he's done. Like, now they're like, oh, well, maybe, like, you're asking for too much. Look at these movies and how poorly they did. But, again, it goes back to marketing and how they were marketed as well. Mm-hmm. And they just don't set things up properly.
Yeah. I think Johnny Depp is going to wind up signing up for a Marvel film. I think he's going to wind up playing Doctor Strange and going to get to work his magic on that, so to speak. And that will solve all the problems that he has going for him, because Marvel knows how to make and knows how to market a film.
Yeah, look at Robert Downey Jr. Yes. His career wasn't the greatest when he decided to sign on to Iron Man.
No, the last thing he was doing before Iron Man was, besides rehab, was Ally McBeal episodes.
Ally McBeal, yeah. And they pulled him from the last episode.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He was supposed to get married.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, hey, great discussion. Let's continue the discussion about movies and talk about the Galactic Netcast, what we're watching weekly, Summer Movie Draft League, and we have most of the team players here. A couple people are missing. Matt, my teammate, is not here. Corey, your teammate, is not here.
But
we've got Brunessa.
No. I'm gonna call you Deafening.
Okay. Fair enough. Does somebody want to open that doc and see how we're doing? I didn't really come prepared.
Yeah, actually, I do have the document open.
It's still pretty early, so I would say that Dave and Matt are still ahead.
Yeah, we're still dominating right now.
It's not even May yet.
Team Car Ramrod is definitely ahead. You've got 284, almost 285 million under your belt. Squared, cubed. What is four?
I thought that was cubed.
No, cubed is three.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, W4 has got about 20 and a half million, and Anessa and I have just under 13 million.
So, Corey, were you satisfied? Were you happy with the movies that Gregor got for you guys?
I stand behind my teammate. I'm always going to be very picky about films, but that's not how to win a draft. That's just how you choose how you're going to spend your own money. There were things that I probably wouldn't have chosen. I certainly would have fought harder for Captain America, which is proving to have worked very well for you. But no, I can't say that I don't think things are going to turn around for us. I think we're going to be okay.
Okay. So what are the next two? What's the next big movies? It's Spider-Man, right?
The next one up is The Other Woman, which is kicks off on Friday, and Amazing Spider-Man is May 2nd.
Okay, so next weekend, not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Yes, correct.
Been seeing
which is just in time for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Cool.
I really wish a good movie would have, like Captain America would have fell on Free Comic Book Day, but you know.
Exactly. All right, so that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Before we get out of here, Corey, tell us what you have going on, where people can find your stuff, what you're doing online, that kind of thing.
I like to spread things around, so I'm in several different places. Mostly you can find me on What We're Watching Weekly, which is every week on Spreecast. You can find our Facebook group. Facebook.com/whatwerewatchingweekly. That would probably be the easiest thing. If you want to find out more about me, I'm on the D20. You can go to the D20.net, but you can always just look at about.me/CaptainTemerity. That's my personal space, and that will take you all over.
How did you get that name?
Captain Temerity is a character that I created when I was in middle school. I was creating a comic book company with my best friend, Bill Tarangio, and I decided to use the last names of ours for the initials. So the C was very easy with Captain, but the T took me some looking up in my Funkin' Wagnalls. And I found temerity, which meant foolish boldness, and I'm like, well, that's it. That's the way I gotta go.
Perfect.
But I had abandoned it for years. My mother brought it back up when I was first getting on the LiveJournal. She said, oh, yeah, remember Captain Temerity? Well, we found a cat, and that's what we're calling him. And I'm like, well, I'm going to take that back. And it's just stuck with me ever since.
You got to own it, Corey. Own it. All right. Well, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. Yes. I always love hanging out with you guys.
And you can find out more about us, Galactic Netcast, by going to our website, galacticnetcasts.com. And I encourage you to check out the blog. I try to write something once a week, and this week was about continuations of series that didn't last very long in different ways. Like I talk about Firefly, how that's continued in comic books. Talk about what else? Jericho, Star Trek Enterprise, and there was one other one. I forget what it was. Anyways, that's the latest blog entry. You can check it out at galacticnetcasts.com. Also there, you can click on our social links, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, and we pump out a lot of content. Like every day, we share stories from other places on the internet, science fiction or science related stuff. So it's well worth the follow or the circle or the like to keep up to date on the latest science fiction news. And if you want to subscribe to this or our other podcasts, search Galactic Netcasts on iTunes, or we're also on Stitcher. That's where Corey listened to the latest episodes. You went to sleep listening to our shows the other night.
I listen to you when I'm awake too, but sometimes it's just comforting to have friends around.
Oh,
aww.
You're so sweet.
Are you sure you don't want to move in with me in Wisconsin?
Why don't you move in with us in California? It's warmer here.
No, I can't do that.
All right, so
I don't think Anessa wants to move twice anyway.
Yeah.
Where am I going to go is what I'm wondering.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to point out that I think this is maybe the first Galactic Netcast that we've done over three time zones. I think it's the first one, I believe. Or was the last – what time zone was our last guest in?
He was
in like Nova Scotia time, like Atlantic time.
Oh yeah, so
that was three time zones.
Yeah, that was three time zones. Okay, so that was Atlantic, Eastern, and Central. This week we're doing Eastern, Central, and Pacific.
Boom.
We're moving west.
Neat. All right.
Now we need someone in Hawaii or Alaska.
Way out west in Kansas.
All right, so I'm going to call this meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club adjourned. So here we go, right here. Oh, wrong one. Hang on, right here. We'll talk to you guys next time.
A gavel's a gavel's a gavel.
Bye, guys.
Just sounds like the second one was a sleepier guy with the
gavel. I know, like I'm done.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Okay, bye. Okay,
bye. Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.